So we're doing the laws of cooking on Shabbat and returning to a hot plate, and now we have to define our terms a little bit. We discussed the laws of when you could leave things on the fire from Friday going into Shabbat, and how you could take things off the fire and put them back. So now we have to know that how do we treat a hot plate? So a hot plate technically has no fire, but we treat the coils, the heat elements, we treat them as fire. And that means that if you have a hot plate where you see the red coils, that's like you see the fire, you have to cover that, something that's safe, right? What happens if you have a plata, like today's Shabbos platas, where you don't see the coils. The coils are embedded into the bottom of the metal plate. But what you see is a flat metal surface. So there, being that it's all one piece, we treat that also as though that's all the fire. We treat the whole top layer as fire, and we cover it. Now, the question is, maybe those hot plates that they have a plata for Shabbos, those we could be more lenient with when it comes to doing hachzara, putting back on the fire. Meaning I leave my chon there from Friday, and it's sitting there and it's fully cooked and it's sitting there. Come Shabbos morning, I want to eat some before the meal. So if I take it off and want to put it back on, we said the fire has to be covered. Well, technically there's only one level flame here. I can't really raise the flame or lower it. We said the fire has to be covered so that when I put it back, it doesn't look like I'm cooking. But our Shabbos platas are a level heat. You don't have more than one level. You can't raise the heat. You can't lower the heat. And no one cooks on them. Meaning their heat is enough to maintain a certain temperature. And usually, you even have to cook the food before you put it on there. Meaning if you want a hot soup or a hot chulent, you have to boil it on a real flame. And then you put it on there and the heat is enough to maintain the heat. So then, being that no one's going to think you're cooking, there's room to be lenient and say that the whole decree that Chazal said you need a cover to the fire was to ensure that it doesn't look like you're cooking when you put the food back on the fire on Shabbos day. Well, no one thinks you're cooking on a plata because no one cooks on a plata. So there's room to say that you could put it back on the plata even if you don't coat the plata. But not everyone agrees with this leniency. Meaning, my tradition is that you do have to cover a plata. My plata, as you guys know, is covered with tinfoil. But there is room to say that, and there is an opinion that says that being that you don't cook on it and you cannot raise the flame, so the rabbinic decree that your flame has to be covered in order to do ahzara, to put back the item onto the flame, does not apply here, and you would not have to coat your plata. Again, provided that you have all the other conditions, that's fully cooked and you held it in your hand, you had in mind you were putting it back. Now, what about putting on that plata your cold schnitzel? You have schnitzel, it's fully cooked, you want to warm it up. You don't even want it to be cooked, you don't even want it to be hot yatzalez, but you just want it to be warm. So that you wouldn't be able to do on this plata. We wouldn't take the leniency that far, because remember, this is only leniency to allow you to do hachzara, something that was on the flame, to take it off and put it back on, going with all the conditions, but not to put something initially. Now, what about... okay, we'll get to how you could do that. So how do you warm up a schnitzel on Shabbos, right? If you want to take things out of the fridge that are fully cooked, that we'll get to later. When it comes to moving the food around on the plata, so you just have to take care, like we said earlier, that the food is fully cooked. Because if the food isn't fully cooked, then by moving it to a hotter place on the plata, you are in essence cooking on Shabbos. So once the food is fully cooked, it doesn't really matter where you put it. Now, where could this come into play? If you have a chulent, and in your chulent you have chicken bones. So now the chicken bones, or bones that you eat, right? So those bones, they take about 24 hours of cooking to soften. So even though the rest of your chont is fully cooked, that part of your chont isn't cooked. And that part of the chont, if you're going to transfer the pot to a hotter place on the fire or on the plata, technically that's what's causing them to be cooked. So there you run into a problem. We'll discuss this at greater length. This was a big machlokas, Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. The students asked Rav Shlomo Zalman whether that's an issue, the cooking of the bones. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, for sure. They sent a letter to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they said, we asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, and this is what he said, and we want to know your opinion. So he begins his letter saying, you have such a great rabbi in Israel, I don't know why you bothered asking me. If he gives me permission, I'll answer you. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, for sure, I want to hear what the rabbi says. So Rav Moshe said, I don't have the same opinion as him. Who cares if the bones get cooked or not cooked? What's lying behind their argument? In New York, everyone's rich. It's known as the land of filth and money. So no one eats the bones. Who sits and eats chicken bones? What do you care if it's softer or not? One in a thousand eats the bones. Where Shlomo Zalman lived, here in Shaarei Chesed, everyone's poor. Everyone cooks the bones and lets them cook, and everyone eats them because people are poor. They eat what they can get. Or Shlomo Zalman, as a kid, went days without having a normal meal. He literally, he starved. He was lucky if he had a piece of bread to eat in a day. When his family was given a gift, the refrigerator, it was the town's refrigerator. That was the poverty they lived in. There was one refrigerator for the town. The refrigerator they were given as a gift. All his years, he lived by his father or his father-in-law. One of them, they never owned their own house for years. The level of poverty they lived on, so everyone was eating the chicken bones. So when they discussed chicken bones with him, they were discussing real food. When they discussed chicken bones with Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was like, who eats that? What do I care if that gets softer? No one eats that. That's what they say was at the root of their machloket. I will end with a quick story. They asked Rav Shlomo Zalman a certain shayla that... it was a big question at the time, a question that was relevant to many Jews, and it was a question that involved pikuach nefesh, questions of life and death. And Rav Moshe Feinstein had already given his ruling, and Rav Shlomo Zalman learned the sugya, and he came to a different conclusion. So he wrote his answer, and then he sent it to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he asked him whether he thinks it's worthy of publishing. So Rav Moshe read through it. Even though Rav Moshe had written a long answer with a different conclusion, he sent it back and said, of course, you should publish it. It's a good answer. That's the modesty and the giants of Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Yeah.